Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and WNST. We're Baltimore Positive. Where could we be more positive than we are? City Council President, we got crab cakes, County Executive.
Fadley's, we got our other great sponsors, Jennings Cafe and State Fair. It's going to be a good day, Mr. President.
It's going to be a great day.
It smells good, too. When I have people with titles on, I have to start calling him County Executive because he's County Executive for life.
Yes.
He was Mr. Mohler for me when he was my high school guidance counselor.
He was
never Professor Mohler. So, if I slip and call him Don or call you anything other than Mr. President, But you guys have a link that I heard you talking. I want to begin the show with this because, Don, you did a little research and I did some research and I've seen his hops and I know about Wu-Tang, I know about that, but there's a St. Mary's connection here.
I had no idea that the city council president was a Seahawk.
Yes, sir. I believe blue and gold, Mervo and St. Mary's. Blue and through.
Mervo, what, with a Mustangs?
Yes, sir. Mustangs to Seahawks.
So
same
Mustangs
colors,
to Seahawks.
Same colors.
There you go.
Same colors.
Well, what we like to start with, because it gives our listeners a chance to get to know folks. And here we are. It's been about 1 week since you've been running for mayor.
Yes. Almost
probably
a week.
Feels,
6 days.
Probably feels like months.
Is this
but
why
one,
we couldn't get you on in August?
One week.
It was busy in August. I was having town halls with my legislators.
Of course, man.
We'll talk about the town halls. But we always like to say, how does little Brandon Scott that's running around the streets of Park Heights, how does he become one of the youngest city council folks ever elected at, I think, 27 years old, now, city council president at 35. What happens on the streets of Park Heights? What happens in your family life that leads you to where you are today?
Yeah, I think it's executive. I think that it's a lot of things, right? When you grow up in a neighborhood like I grew up in, and you see all the negative, right? You see people get shot, people dying. You see dead bodies. You see drug addiction. You go to schools that don't have heat and air conditioning. You deal with all that. You see your friends, be born. You be on teens with them, and then they're gone before you graduate from high school. It changes you. And then for me, luckily, I had my family and my community structure around me, my coaches, who were consistently saying, this is not the way that it has to be. And they were consistently allowing me the opportunities to experience different things, to be around politics. And they said, this is a way for you to make that change. And that if you want to do it, then you're going to have to do it yourself. So I dedicated myself at a very young age that this is what I wanted to do. I wanted to be better than the people that were in my positions growing up. I wanted to be someone that the little kids in Park Heights, that in East and West Baltimore, can reach out and touch and understand what I do every day, and that I work for them every day and try to make their lives a better way. So that's why I went to St. Mary's to study at the Center for the Study of Democracy at the National Public Honors College, and then came home and immediately started to serve, because I know that I was put on this earth to make Baltimore a better city.
I can't think, and not everybody out there is familiar
and
with...
And by the way, Don's under the weather, so don't touch
him. I'm a little under the weather.
No, don't touch him.
Not everyone out there is familiar with St. Mary's College, but I was saying, I have a connection. My son went there, played lacrosse there. I said to Nestor before we started, Mr. President, I said, I can't think of two more different environments than St. Mary's College down on the water and the streets of Park Heights.
How many students at St. Mary's?
About 2,500 total students. And you're right. It's a totally different place. And I'll tell you a funny story. I wasn't originally going to go to St. Mary's. In fact, I never visited St. Mary's before my first day, which was August the 31st, 2000.
You went there without visiting.
Whoa. You signed up, just got dropped off.
Wow.
I'll tell you the story. So, as you know, I was a track athlete at Mervo. We were pretty sure that I was going to go to school on a joint athletic and academic scholarship. So we're looking at Hampton University. We actually thought about me transferring and living with my aunt and uncle in Hampton the year before, for my junior and senior year, so that we could get in-state tuition. But also looked at places like Drexel, James Madison, Towson here, UMBC, and then I got hurt. So luckily, through the College Bound program, I was already prepared from SAT, so we started to look at the schools simply through the lens of academic. And I remember the day I came to Mervo, my class in the morning was my computer program and trade class, and I came in, and for some weird reason, my dad was there. And he never came to Mervo, ever. And my coach was in the room, and my teachers, and there was a lady that I didn't recognize. And they were like, we want you to consider going to this school, St. Mary's. So...
What time of the year is this, Frank?
This is literally...
Decision time, right?
This is like, yeah, this is like February, March.
Oh, wow.
So this is at the end. I'm trying to make a decision at this point. And
had you been to any other Towson?
I went to so many colleges through track and College Bound that I can't even remember.
Oh, so
right?
Okay. So you've been on a lot of campuses.
Many campuses. You know, we've been to so many campuses. And we had narrowed it down. You know, we were looking at Hampton, George Mason out in Virginia. We looking at that in Towson. That's what we thought. And then I started looking in St. Mary's, looked at the academic rigor. One of the things that we didn't want to happen for me is that when I was in high school, my teachers and my coaches had to find extra work for me to keep me from getting in trouble when I was bored, right? Because that did happen a lot when I was in high school.
Nestor understands that.
Nestor understands. So they give me
I delivered newspapers. Yeah. You know, that's what I did, you know.
They give me this pamphlet for St. Mary's, and I look at it, and I go through it, and then something just tells me in my gut that this is where I should go. And I always tell the story. I'm driving down Route 5, and it's like St. Mary's College at historic St. Mary's City. And I bend that bend the first day, and it's the sign that says, welcome to St. Mary's City, historic St. Mary's City. And my thought then was, where's the city?
Right, exactly.
But
the
sailboats of water. Now I live for the moment when I bend that corner. And it was easier adjustment for me because I spent my summers leaving Park Heights and going and spending it on my grandparents' farm in North Carolina. So I was accustomed to living in a rural
environment. You had been outside the city.
Yeah, I had been outside the city. And I was the only person in Baltimore that went to St. Mary's, and we started recruiting very heavily, that had a car. So, and actually, Nestor, because I was a DJ, I actually drove an old Ford conversion van. No one from Baltimore could come.
Scooby-Doo?
Scooby-Doo. Oh, yeah. No one could come home unless I went home, and I never went home. And now I think about it, like, intuitively, I was trying to keep them away from home because I knew, like, the best place for us to be at the time was at St. Mary's. So that's how I ended up there. And look, it's my second home. There's only one other place on earth that I would live, and it's in St. Mary's County.
Wow. Well, tell me, jump back to what you just said when you said, I was trying not to take them home because the best place for them was St. Mary's. Talk to us about what you mean by that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember it's just this simple. You know, this is the early 2000s. I remember coming home one weekend, and this story I've told in the Baltimore Sun, a gentleman that I knew from growing up, he was involved in the street life. He was a big-time drug dealer in Park Heights, but I used to wash cars at my uncle's car wash, and I washed his car. And he was just telling me, like, yeah, you got to go to school. Like, this is the best thing for you to do. If I had to do it all over again, I would take that football scholarship and not choose this way of life. And I was at school in, like, no more than a month, and my cousin told me he was dead, right? So why would I come back consistently until I have to when I know I can better myself?
So a guy who dealt drugs gave you wisdom,
yeah.
serious wisdom,
yeah.
and died 30 days later.
Yep.
Never forget it. It's so painful when you describe something like that. And I'm not going to put words in your mouth, but I can imagine it's that pain that drives you to make a difference. For our list, so many of our listeners, they're not experienced with Park Heights and what Park Heights is, what it was in its heyday and what it is today. They're not tuned in. They have an image, and that's like I said, they have an image of Baltimore from The Wire, mm-hmm. but they haven't lived it. As a young kid, you're 8, 9, 10, you're a teenager, and you're seeing boys and girls that you care about getting shot and killed. Describe the trauma of that for folks.
It's almost indescribable. When you're walking to school and you and your friends like discover a dead body, that's not normal, right? We're going to be living with that for the rest of our lives. When you know that someone in your class's father is now dead, or their mother is dead, or you can see them come into class and they have the same clothes on for 3 days. When you're a young kid, you know that that's not normal, but you don't know why. But when you become a teenager, when you're older and you know exactly what's going on, you just simply, you get this feeling in your gut that, like, this can't be life. And what happens to, I always tell this story, what happens is that situation either breaks you or makes you like me, right? If you look at all my friends growing up, we all from Park Heights, went to Mervo. Almost all of us are extremely successful, and it's successful because we stayed together. They sent us to school together. We did everything together.
Just going to Mervo from your neighborhood, right?
It was a long way. Yeah,
hour
and 45-minute bus ride.
Well, not just that you had to earn your way in, right? But then every day you had to earn it. So I always tell a story. When I was in sixth grade, I had a very ambitious teacher who wanted to put me in McDonough, which I hope everybody's okay over there. And my parents drove me out there one day to take a test in the sixth grade, and I didn't pass. I mean, but the notion that I would do that every day was a different level of thought and commitment than anything anybody in my neighborhood knew about. Maybe my neighbor went to Curly or Mount Carmel.
Right.
And that was, that was a little different than Dundalk where I went. But
yeah.
You had four hours of your day.
Yeah, the bus picked me up on the corner. It's hard as hell for me to get there when I did, And I think about anyone that makes that sort of. How many of your friends were a part of that?
So it was a bunch of us. So some of us are older, some of us are younger. So coming from West Baltimore to Mervo, every day after track practice, there was like 13 of us coming back and going. Actually, we used to catch. This is how crazy the bus system was. In the morning, I would. That's also why I start driving as soon as possible. In the morning, I would have to get up. I would be up at 5:30 every morning. I would be out the house and on the bus stop by 6:40, 6:45. Get to school by 8:15. Then go to school. Get out of school at 3:15. Go to track practice from 3:30 until,
and that was the fun part of the day.
Some days. Till 5:30. Then we would go to College Bound and SAT prep. Okay. So we're getting on the bus at like 7 o'clock at night. And because East and West bus situation in Maryland still is this way, in Baltimore, it's so bad, we couldn't catch the bus backwards the same way. We would actually have to catch, which was the 36 or the 3, downtown to Lexington Market, get on the subway, go back up to Park Heights. And that makes you, that is a lot. So we, like, when I got home,
you were 14, 13.
I was 14, 15, and 16.
And you're walking in the door at what time?
I'm walking in the door most of the time, 7:45,
homework
8 o'clock. Homework most of the time was done in school or on the bus.
But you haven't eaten.
Haven't eaten, or we would eat here. Eat when I get home, take a shower, try to do something with my brothers, talk to my, sleep. Back on them again.
Well, then, again, I'm trying to think of folks who are in their cars listening, and I sort of see them speaking to their radios now and saying, why did you choose that path, and kids down the street chose another?
I think that's about your parents
question,
or
right.
people, your so neighbors, you got, or your structure.
That's the difference. That's the difference.
You had one.
I had one. If you, I always tell this story, and I don't like to tell their names, but on my rec center basketball team, my elementary school basketball team growing up, the starting five, right? Other starting five, I'm a councilman. One of my friends is a firefighter. Two of them are dead. One of them is severely addicted to drugs. Now, we all lived in Park Heights. The only difference between myself and the one that's a firefighter is that we had a family structure around them, right? If that's the only difference. So we had people that said, like, we have to get you in the better school. It was my mom. I didn't go to me and the same young man that's a firefighter. We went from elementary all the way to high school together. He and I didn't go to Green Spring Middle School in Park Heights because our parents had the intuition to get us into the Roland Park Citywide Academic Program, right? That was life-changing, taking a kid from Park Heights to Roland Park for middle school.
Have you met the people that have put that plan in place You said the Roland Park. You know, there was a structure of government, of community that allowed that for you. I always tell Don there was something called gifted and talented program in Baltimore County. So, having exposure to that, being available to you.
Yeah, most of those people are gone. But this is how Baltimore comes full circle. So at that time, Roland Park and Robert Poole were the only citywide middle schools, right? Now we have DEC programs around the city, and you can see parents now. That's why the average kid in Baltimore City public schools, middle school and above, travels over a mile every day to go to their school. But for me, it was even in elementary school. And actually, my elementary school principal is now the chair of the school board commissioners. And we have to put those systems in place because I know so many people that I grew up with, some that are smarter than me, that could have been so much and done so much more with their lives, who are either not here or struggling with drug addiction, simply because they didn't have the caring people and the structure around them to force them to be as successful as me. Because I always say, we can build a $20 million school for Jonathan or Leah, but if she's going home to a family structure that's in a way that's broken in such a way that it's like negative 20 million, it won't matter.
We hear that over. Dr. Hornbeck, and you know, we do a little bit on education around here.
Dr. Hornbeck's a great man. Dr. Hornbeck's assistant principal over at his school, actually.
His son, David.
David's assistant's principal went to St. Mary's with me. See, that's how the world works.
Well, you know, it's interesting because all of this leads up to where you are. With what you're describing, I said to Nestor right before you walked in, I said, you know, when I look at folks willing to say I'm going to run for mayor, it looks so overwhelming. How do you begin to break it down? You're talking about family structure. We ask folks, we ask our listeners, say, we're going to have the city council president on. What would you ask them? And a lot of them are fairly typical. They say, what can an elected official do about the breakdown in family structure, the breakdown in values, the breakdown in norms? What do you do? What do you say to people who ask you that?
Yeah, I get it. A lot of people think that it's overwhelming, right? But for me, it's not overwhelming. I survived growing up in Baltimore in the 90s, right? So becoming a council person and becoming the council president, running for mayor, becoming mayor, that's not overwhelming to me because by the statistics, I'm not even supposed to be here,
right?
So when you've won despite all odds your whole life, that becomes the norm for you. Like, that's the challenge. That's why I get up in the morning. That's why I'm here, because I want to make it for all those who didn't. But it's also, you can do that. It's about your priorities. We haven't prioritized building strong communities, and strong communities start with strong families and strong people. It's about how we spend our money. It's about investing in organizations. We have great organizations that do that work. You guys should have them on the show, actually.
Joe Jones
from the Center for Urban Families, that do that kind of work. But we have to expand upon that work, spend more of our tax dollars on doing and focusing in on. Listen, you can look at the data. I know Dr. Hornbeck probably told you. You can look at the data and see which young people are the most likely to end up the victim, the perpetrator of violence by like third grade. We should be smart and start investing in them now, in their families now, versus later on. We've been investing in the failures of our young people. We have to invest in that promise.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned the people doing the work. Last week, we interviewed, and boy, you're talking about family, and my head is exploding because I'm thinking about what we had. We had Sarah Heminger on from Thread.
And we usually do an hour, or we wound up doing almost two hours. It was just insanely great.
We couldn't stop talking with her. And in 15 years, they're now up, as you know, over 500 kids.
Yep.
The most challenged kids in the Baltimore City Public Schools, 100% of their kids have gone to college.
Yep.
Because they've created a family around them.
They've created a structure around them. And listen, that's what they need. People have to understand that these young people want to be successful. They want to be better. No one wants to be born, live, and die in a neighborhood where they have to see the things that they see every day. But what they're crying for is having caring adults, people, a structure. They don't want chaos. They want the structure. This is why I mentor young people each and every day who don't. Young people who I got in middle school that are now, you know, in college or out of going into the work world of work because they wanted that, and you just have to provide that for them. And we have to figure out a way how we can invest more in those organizations like that, invest more in our public education, because yes, we have to do all the other basic things in government, but as you know, Don, as someone who had to hold agencies accountable for their budget, if you were holding them accountable for the same, if you had these metrics on how they're going to do stuff, after the third or fourth year, if they haven't had an impact, it's time to do something different. We've been governing Baltimore the same way the 35 years I've been alive. And what's changed? We have to change the way we govern.
Boy, what a great place to stop.
Yeah, I want
to
get
We've
into
got
that.
City Council President Brandon Scott, mayoral candidate. I think there's quite a bit of passion here. We're going to come back.
I smell
Mr.
crab
President.
Cakes.
I see crab cakes.
I see him.
I'm sure you've seen and heard. There are those out there who said, it's not his time yet. He should wait around. We're going to come back and see why it is your time.
Yes, sir.
Where are we, Nestor?
We are at Fadley's. We're about to get into some crab cakes. I saw someone with mac and cheese here, and I have not had the mac and cheese here. That will be changing today for the fall.
Sir.
So we're down here at Fadley's. We got two more segments. It's Baltimore Positive. Talking to mayoral, I make sure I'm pronouncing that properly. I looked it up. Candidate, Brandon Scott, city council president, and our county executive. I have to make sure I'm
That's
giving
right.
titles
At
here.
St. Mary's College
That's
graduate.
Right.
Seahawks?
Seahawks, baby.
Seahawk pride, baby.
Lexington Market. We're back with more Baltimore Positive right after this.